Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all.
Amen.
Yes, a number of times I said, when Moses was 80, he began his ministry. Aaron was 83. So I said, Lord, if I'm 80, maybe I should come to an end. But now I'm past 80 and I still have to move on to share the precious and holy word of God. Beloved from me, it is just a privilege to see you, to know we shall spend eternity together with our Lord.
Amen.
And even the songs we were singing, showing the redemption by the blood. In the Old Testament, Jeremiah 31, our Lord said, I will make a new covenant, I will give you in your heart, in your life, in your spirit, and in the New Testament, Matthew 26, our Lord said, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you. So, beloved, we're not only speaking about a message, we share the full gospel. We touch that which is most important, and we also read in Revelation chapter 12, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So we must put things always in the right place, in the right place. And our Lord shed his blood, made the new covenant. And we're now living at the very end of the time of grace. I don't know if you pay precise attention to what is going on in Europe, Eastern Europe, what is going on around Israel, or even in the Islamic world. We just know what our Lord said. When you see all these things come to pass, then look up, for you know, you don't gossip, you don't dream, you know your redemption is drawing near.
Amen.
And then also, as you all know, in our time, God kept his word and sent in this prophetic age a true prophet with a promised word for our day. And I share this all over the earth. As you might know, I just came back from Ethiopia and from Rwanda. Just amazing, amazing how the Lord is gathering his people from far and near. Even there, people came from 700 kilometers to be in the meetings. Beloved, maybe I share this quickly with you. In Ethiopia, after the preaching and the prayer, a gentleman came to me and said, my mother is Ethiopian, but my father is German, and I studied 8 years at the university in Munich, and from this day I made my decision to translate every book, every sermon, every circular letter into the Ethiopian language. So God is taking care of all languages, of all tribes, all over the earth. And also in Kigali, just, I think it was between 3,000 and 4,000 people gathered to hear the word of God, the living, the revealed word. Not interpretations, not explanations, but the original words of God as they came from the lips of the Almighty. And this is also my stand. I will never accept any interpretation. I will only accept the true word of Almighty God. And as we said many times, the New Testament began with the fulfillment of promises from the Old Testament. John the Baptist was a promised prophet, and his ministry was part of the kingdom of God at that time. The Jews had their religion, different sections in the Jewish religions, but when the time was fulfilled and Malachi 3 verse 1 was to be accomplished, the angel Gabriel came down from heaven into the temple, standing at the right hand of the altar, speaking to Zacharias, giving him the promise that his wife Elizabeth would have a son, and his name shall be John, and he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to prepare the ways of the Lord and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Luke chapter 1, right after verse 16 and 17. For me, this is absolutely essential to know the promises first. And only if you believe the promises of God, whatever is promised will be revealed to you, and then you will have part in what God is doing according to all his promises. And the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, especially verse 20, 21 and 22 said, all the promises of God are yea and amen through Christ by us. Now we look into our time, and please understand it the right way. Since the time of Reformation, there was revival after revival. In every revival, closer and closer to the word and will of God. The revivals went deeper, like Martin Luther was a man of God, Schwenkfeld, Calvin, Zwingli, many. But the revival under Wesley was deeper into the word and will of God. Under John Smith for the Baptist Church, William Booth for the Salvation Army, Menos Imos for the Mennonites, God has sent his men and revival after revival. In our time, he sent a man to restore all things, to bring back to its original position, like it was with the children of Israel, when they returned from the Babylonian captivity, they searched until they found the old foundation of the temple and all the rubble that was there. They had to take it away, and then they rebuilt the temple on the original foundation. And the Apostle Paul says, I laid the foundation, and no other foundation can be laid except the one, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So, to make it very brief, in our time, Malachi 4 had to be fulfilled. It had to be, because God promised that before the great day of the Lord would come, He would send a prophet to turn the hearts of the children back to the apostolic fathers. So by the grace of God, we understand the promise, and by the grace of God, we see the fulfillment. And by the grace of God, we are part in the fulfillment. We are not playing religion. We're not wasting your time. We're sharing with you the true word of God for this day. And this is God's time for God's people. The most important time in the 6,000 years since Adam, and the most important time in the New Testament church. So please make the right decision, because the decision you make now, you will take with you to eternity. So we understand the promise was fulfilled, because God swore by Himself, because He could not swear by anyone else. He swore by Himself that every promise He made, He will fulfill. You and I, perhaps we make promises and we're not able to fulfill. But God has taken full responsibility for every promise He made. But you are the one to believe that promise, and then that promise can be fulfilled with you. Like our Lord said in Acts chapter 1, this promise is unto you and to your children. Like John the Baptist was preaching, I baptize you with water, but he that comes after me, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Amen.
That's Acts chapter 1. Our Lord repeating what John the Baptist was preaching in Matthew chapter 3. But then if you go to chapter 2, the Apostle Peter will say, this is that which God had promised through the prophet Joel, in the last days I will pour out my spirit. Always and always, over 100 times, the man of God in the New Testament went back to the promises of the Old Testament and showed the fulfillment in the New Testament. And this is very, very important. Ephesians 2 verse 20 were built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The prophets foretold by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit what would take place, and the apostles showed forth what had taken place. So I have a number of questions here, altogether 22, but I cannot go into detail in all these questions. But beloved, let me give a very, very brief testimony in reference to the ministry of our beloved brother Brandon. I knew Brother Branham for exactly 10 years. For exactly 10 years. From 1955 to 1965. I was in his meetings in Germany, in his meetings in the US, in his home, having tea, drove in the same car. I knew him personally. I knew his ministry by divine revelation. From the first service in 1955, I knew no one can do what is happening here except God be with him. And so I came to know from the first meeting, even when I met him in person on Monday the 15th of August 1955, I shall never forget that day. After the service, I just wanted to see him. And the next morning, before 8, I was in the hotel asking where he would be, in which room. And just while I was inquiring, the delegation came in, and also Brother Branham. I just turned around. The gentleman said, he's now entering the lobby. Before we shook hands, he stood and looked at me and said, "You are a minister of the gospel." Beloved, you cannot imagine when we shook hands with one another what went on in my heart. I just knew I'm shaking hands with a true man sent from God. Not having any knowledge of message, but that much I knew. As the blind received their sight, cripples were walking. Everything that happened in the ministry of our Lord happened in his ministry. Brothers and sisters, friends, you cannot imagine how we all wept, how we praised God, because we've seen Bible days. We've seen Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It was not only a banner over the platform, it was a reality. And our Lord made the promise, "The works that I do, shall you do also." Beloved, this happened. So only that much I like to say. I knew Brother Branham. I knew, would have known his ministry. I received every time he preached in the USA, was sent to me in Germany. Through the years of his ministry, I grew spiritually under his ministry. And even in December 62, just as you know, in March 63, there was the opening of the Seven Seals. But when I visited with Brother Branham in December 62, he asked me to preach for him in Los Angeles. Can you imagine a Brother Frank coming from Germany, never been to Los Angeles? And Brother Branham said, "Brother Frank, could you preach for me in Los Angeles? I must pack, because according to a vision the Lord showed me, when they would widen the street, Ewing Lane, when the machines will move up and down, and when the fence is taken and put on the lawn, that would be the time that you must move from Jeffersonville to Tucson. And these eyes have seen the bulldozers. These eyes have seen the fence laying on his lawn. And then, of course, you can understand how I feel when I think about Brother Branham, about his ministry. God has just given me that grace to understand everything he said the right way. And beloved, just on this trip, I had to smile a little, but maybe I should weep. There was one brother who said, "Brother Frank, you cannot preach the message from the Bible." And I was so surprised. I was so surprised. That should I repeat? "Brother Frank, you cannot preach the message of the hour from the Bible." And my answer was, "Beloved brother, I can only preach it from the Bible." Only from the Bible. After the funeral service in Jeffersonville in April 1966, the funeral was on the 11th, and on the 12th and 13th and 14th, I called the brothers together and said, "We need to translate the sermons into different languages, and therefore they must be printed." So from the very, very beginning, I was not only connected to the Lord and to the ministry of Brother Branham, but from his parting, God has so arranged that I would have a direct part in the ministry to take the message to the ends of the earth. And just after my return from Ethiopia and from Kigali in Rwanda, I asked the office to let all the countries on earth come, and you know, you can tip on your internet and it will show all the countries, 195, you have the list of every country, right to the last one. Then I asked the office to mark the countries that where Brother Frank has already preached. So they came to exactly 143 countries that I preached in since or in the past 52 years. So the message of the hour is reaching the ends of the earth, and we are now connected to 172 countries on earth sharing the true word of God. And the true message is the word, and the word is the message. And if it's not in the Bible, it's not biblical. God is only in his word and in no interpretation. Over 100 times, Brother Branham mentioned that with Eve, only one word was added and the whole thing was changed and the fall happened. Please don't change a single word. Don't take a single word out of context. Leave every word where and how it is. For instance, I think I said this before, but our Lord has four son titles. Matthew 1:1, son of Abraham, son of David, but also son of man, son of God. So you must know exactly if it's son of man, leave it, son of man. If it's son of God, leave it, son of God. Wherever every scripture is correctly placed in the right connection to the plan of salvation,
So we understand it has taken a direct ministry. And as you know, Brother Branham was just a human being. He was a man. I remember he was driving the car and I was seated next to him. Yes, just a man. But he had the same ministry our Lord had when he walked on this earth as prophet and son of man. Just like our Lord could say in John chapter 5, verse 18 and 19 and 20, the Son can do nothing but what he sees the Father do, the Son does likewise. And in the prayer line, how many times did I watch it, as the Lord would show Brother Branham a vision. And he could tell the people where they came from, the names and the illness they had. The same ministry our Lord had when he walked here on earth. The same ministry repeated before my very eyes. I can say, as John the Apostle, what our eyes have seen and our ears have heard from the word of life that we share with you. Even to the point, in fact, of the day of the Lord. It must be emphasized when our Lord said that he was sent a prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. Beloved, you're duty bound to open the scripture, to go from place to place, to know what the day of the Lord is. You must go to Isaiah chapter 13. You must go to all the prophets. You must go to Joel. You must go to the New Testament. And then you have the precise information. Sun will turn into darkness and the moon into blood before the great day of the Lord comes. And then you go to Isaiah 49. And then you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In the Old Testament, the day of salvation. In the New Testament, this is the day of salvation. This is the acceptable time. But just at the end of the time of grace, before sun turns into darkness, before moon turns into blood, before the stars fall from heaven, God promised, I will send you Elijah the prophet to restore all things, to turn the hearts of the people back to God. So, this is the most important time in the New Testament church. And please read also Luke chapter 19. When our Lord went to the Mount of Olives, looking over Jerusalem, they were singing the Psalms, keeping the Sabbath, doing all they wanted to do, but missing the day of God's visitation, waiting 4,000 years since the first promise in Genesis chapter 3, where God, our Lord, made the promise that the seed would come through the woman. It was the hope of the children of Israel, the Messiah. And when he came to his own received him not. And our Lord had to weep when he looked over Jerusalem. So, beloved, please be thankful to Almighty God. If you have found grace in the sight of God, you will recognize the day, the promises, everything God foreordained for this time to happen. You will open your heart, you will receive it, and it will be revealed to you. So, a few scriptures I mentioned And then I like to refer also to 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and chapter 4, we read especially about the end time, what will take place. 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says in verse 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And then a whole list of the things which would be. In verse 5, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of it, from such turn away." And then in verse 7, "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Just describing what would be at the end of the time of grace. Beloved, I say this again. If God has really granted you His grace, you will understand by divine revelation the promises, and you will have part in the fulfillment of the promises He made. Beloved, remember for one moment, every church has the Bible. Every church is singing. Everything has a service. Every church on earth. And at the present time, we have 349 Protestant denominations joined in the World Council of Churches. And in the first paragraph, they all must agree to the Trinity doctrine. To the Trinity doctrine. It's in the first paragraph of the World Council of Churches. But there's no Trinity. It's our God who manifested Himself as our Father in heaven, and His only begotten Son on earth, Emmanuel, God with us, and by the Holy Spirit in you, in my, in all the believers since the day of Pentecost. Our Lord said, "I will be with you and I will be in you." So we understand the word Trinity is not in the Bible. The word triune God is not in the Bible. Not one time you find in the Bible the term God the Son. Not one time, not one time. Only the Son of God. Not one time do you find in the Bible the term God the Holy Spirit. Not one time, not one time. No, it's not there. It's not there. So we must emphasize that all the people were deceived, looking back to Rome. We don't look to Rome, we look to the Lord, and we look to Jerusalem. We go back to Jerusalem, because the Word of God says in Isaiah chapter 2, the Word of God will go forth from Jerusalem, and the teachings from Mount Zion. So we must be restored back to the original foundation, to the original teachings. And maybe I should mention this. In the Old Testament, the high priest had to put the 12 tribes into the breastplate. And the breastplate had to be with him every time when he entered the holy place. And every time, you can read, maybe I will publish it in my next circular letter. Every time when that which was being said was true, the light flashed. If it remained dark, what was said was not true. God was confirming the truth that was spoken in his name by giving the light which came forth from the Urim Ephendim. But we cannot go into these things today. But it's absolutely important to come back to the true Bible teaching. Please, please understand. The mighty ministry was to draw our attention to the divine purpose in our time, in our day. As you know, I knew all the great evangelists because I participated in their conventions internationally, whether it's Oral Roberts or T.L. Aspen or Tommy Hicks or Maurice Cirullo, all these men I knew personally because I was in their conventions. But beloved, let me emphasize it over and again. There was a special call, a special ministry, a fulfillment of Bible prophecy in our day. And if you read Matthew 17 slowly and Mark 9 slowly, slowly, then you understand. Our Lord said after the ministry of John the Baptist was finished, truly Elijah shall first come and restore all things. And when he turned to the Jews, he said, Elijah has already come and ye did not know it. So both is true. What he said for the future had to come to pass. What he said that already had happened. You just need to read the Bible under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to understand precisely what he meant and in what connection the scripture and whatever our Lord said is meant. So here in 2 Timothy, it speaks about the last days, about the things which would be, and also in verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt mind, reprobates concerning the faith. Beloved, this is the case. If somebody does not understand by divine revelation what God has done in our time, and the purpose connected to it, he will have to be against it. I'm not criticizing, but all the brothers in the USA, for instance, the great evangelists, yes, they had their ministries, and everything was very fine until Brother Branham began to teach, and especially after the opening of the seven seals, when he had to come out very straight and strict with the Bible teachings about Godhead, baptism, and election, and so forth. That was the moment when all these great evangelists said, no, this we cannot accept. And why? Because they did not have the same divine revelation and understanding of the Word of God. And it takes a prophet. It takes a prophet to whom the Word of God comes. Because our Lord said, God will do nothing except he reveals his Word first to his servants, the prophets. So in this prophetic generation, it has taken a prophetic ministry to bring us back. And now, all the evangelists and all the teachers, everyone who has a ministry, can use that which was revealed to God's prophet. They can make use of it in their preachings. You don't need to add or to take anything away, but just use it. And if not, I say it again, as the scripture says here, if they don't receive what God promised and what God gave us, they will be against it. They will be against it. And what happens? What happens? You have to be for it. You have to receive it. And that's why I have to emphasize the grace God bestowed upon us is that we give ear to what He says, not to what people say, but what God said in His Word. And you remember when Brother Branham still was alive, he was taken to glory in a trance and had seen all the redeemed, and they were just shouting, "Our beloved brother." And then he was told, only perfect love will enter here. Only perfect love. And perfect love was manifested at the cross of Calvary. So God loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to save us. But here is the point. The same life of God that was in the blood of the Son of God is in all the redeemed. If you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the same eternal life that was in the blood of the Son of God is in you. And that's written in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. He that has the Son has everlasting or eternal life. He that has not the Son has not life. So it's not a religion. It's a true experience of salvation to receive Christ as your personal Savior, to confess your sins, to ask forgiveness, and then get the assurance, the Lord forgave me. All the sins are taken away, and I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. So we understand, by the grace of God, we are brought back not only to all these teachings, but to the same experiences. Same experiences. And there's one question among the 22 which is asking whether we now receive the same baptism of the Holy Spirit as they received on the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, there were cloven tongues as of fire that came down upon each and every one before they could speak in another language by the power of the Holy Spirit. Their tongue had to be purified by the fire of God. That's why our Lord said He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And if you read James, the tongue is in connection with the fire of hell. You just read James. So this tongue must be placed into the service of Almighty God. And therefore, when I experienced my baptism of the Holy Spirit in May 1949, you could almost feel that fire. It was not only the power of the Holy Spirit. You could feel the fire coming down, and you were touched, your tongue was touched. And sometimes 20, 30, 40 were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And friends, I'm an old timer in the kingdom of God. And by the way, in Acts chapter 11, verse 15, the Apostle Peter said that the Holy Spirit fell upon those they were preached to, as on the day of Pentecost. As on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 11, verse 15. So we must make sure we're not only in a charismatic meeting, not only waving back and forth, but having the true experience. You know what it means to pray through? How many know what it means to pray through? To pray through. Maybe you don't even know the term. But real, to be honest, after conversion, you have such a longing to be in a direct communion with the Lord. And then you pray. It may take an hour, it may take more. But you pray until you come through. You come through. And then it happens. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a glorious experience. You feel it. You feel it on your tongue. You feel it in your heart. You feel it in your body. So coming back to the ministry of Brother Branham, beloved, I have to say this. My heart is broken because of the many misunderstandings of the statements Brother Branham made. My heart is broken. And because I'm acquainted with what is happening all over the earth in the so-called message, let me say this very clearly with all my heart in the presence of the Lord. The true message is a true promised word of God for this day. Everything outside the word is outside the message. Only if you are in the word, you are in the message. If you're in the message, you are in the word. And only in the word we can be sanctified. I cannot go into all the details, but there are so many misunderstandings and misinterpretations in reference to the statements Brother Branham made. Why doesn't Brother Frank have a single problem with a single statement Brother Branham made? Because I take everything back to the Word of God. As I said, I cannot go into details, but I'm so grateful to Almighty God for the true leading of the Holy Spirit into all the truth. And I may also say this, that I don't believe that there is a man living on earth who appreciates Brother Branham more than I do. If I could, I would wash his feet. And I say this with all my heart. And therefore, because of the many, many misunderstandings and misinterpretations of his statements, my heart is broken. And I'm asking, Lord, what is the actual purpose of that great ministry? And then I know that all who are foreordained from before the foundation of the world to be with the Lord, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will stay under the blood. You will stay under the leading of the Holy Spirit. You will stay in the Word of God. You will stay in the will of God. You will prepare. You will get ready, because we know the return of our Lord is just very, very near. But because of 2 Timothy 3, I have to go quickly over before closing to chapter 4. And you know, I heard the voice, the actual voice of the Lord, a number of times. The first time, April the 2nd, 1962, which was a Monday morning, just before a new day came up, before the rising of the sun. But here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is a very, very special chapter for me. Very, very special. And I tell you now why. We had meetings with Brother Barrier in France, and we were at that time in the city of Marseille, and some brothers came to us asking about the seven thunders. They came from Armenia. How many knows Yerevan and Armenia? They came from Armenia. And it was the first time that I could not answer a Bible question. I just had to say, I'm sorry, I don't know. The question was, what are the seven thunders? So I said, I don't know. And went to the room. It was after the service. And beloved, I say this in the presence of God. The next morning, there was one moment when the Lord spoke, and his voice is going through all your bones every time. You can never imagine the direct, audible, all-penetrating, all-commanding voice of the Lord. And the Lord said, my servant, rise and read 2 Timothy 4. I began to read from verse 1 to verse 5. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ at his appearing and at his kingdom. And then comes verse 2, preach the word, it be in time or out of time, reproof and rebuke and so on. You know this chapter. And beloved, when I had finished reading up to verse 5, I started to read verse 1 again. And when I came to verse 2, I laid my Bible down. The little place I laid my Bible down was almost the size of this little pulpit here. It was a very small room. Everything was small. I laid my Bible down, and my hands went into the air, and I said, dear Lord, as certain as that which the seven thunders uttered in Revelation 10 is not written, did not become part of the Word of God, that is as certain as no one can ever preach what they said. And I could say, thus says the Lord, behind it, because it was a direct command of the Lord to rise and to read 2 Timothy 4. And then if you go, and I went straight to Revelation chapter 1, there it says, and keep those things which are written in the prophecy of this book. Keep the words which are written. And you go right to Revelation chapter 22, the last verses. Whosoever, he be whoever he wishes or is, whosoever shall add to him, the plagues will be added, and he will have no part on the tree of life. With these things, I must be very clear and very strict. Never a compromise. Amen. You can have my life. You can have my life, but not compromise. Amen. That's impossible. Totally impossible. Word of God is word of God. Without compromise, and heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word remains forever. And if you look at those who say the seven thunders are this and that. They're misleading. When Brother Branham spoke about the seven thunders, you know in which connection it was done especially. When he was on the Sunset Mountain on February the 28th, 1963, all of a sudden, seven mighty thunderclaps were heard and shook the whole area. And the stones were rolling down the mountains, and the tops of the trees were chopped. And Brother Peregrine took us to that place. I saw the stones which had rolled down. I saw the trees where the tops were chopped. And the seven thunders were so mighty. And the next moment, just after these seven mighty thunderclaps, and Brother Branham, on March the 24th, while speaking on the seventh seal, he wanted to knock six times on the pulpit. He wanted to knock seven times, but he only managed to knock six times. But just showing and saying the thunders, the seven thunders were so mighty. And then you hear him knocking the pulpit like this. But these brothers don't understand the connection. They don't know what he is referring to. And they say they don't know what they are talking about. And therefore, we must check everything with the Word of God. And if it's not written, it's not written. Leave it with God. And by the way, the seven thunders will utter their voices when the Lord will come down as the angel of the covenant with the open book. And here is a secret in the prophet Malachi. Chapter 3, verse 1, you've got two things. The first is, I will send my messenger before my face to prepare my way before me. But the second part, and the angel of the covenant will come to his holy temple. But only the first part was fulfilled at the first coming of Christ. You can read it in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, referring to what happened at the first coming of Christ. The ways were prepared. But when the Lord will come to Israel as the angel of the covenant, and by the way, not one time is our Lord mentioned as angel of the covenant in connection with the New Testament church, only in connection with Israel. Beloved, it is so important to be led by the Holy Spirit, to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to know the scripture by divine revelation, and to place all things where they should be. But for your information, the same Lord that came down in the supernatural cloud on February the 28th, and seven angels in the form of a pyramid were around our Lord. And when Brother Branham was told, please turn the picture to the right, he had it upside down like they have it in all the English versions. He had to put it up. And then he said, look at this. Here you see the face. You see the eyes. You see the face of our Lord. The same Lord who came down, not put his feet on earth, no, but 26 miles above the earth. And Brother Branham was taken into that constellation. And he said, the angel to my far right was the one who spoke to me and told me to go back to Jeffersonville for the opening of the seven seals. Can you now understand why I'm so glad and grateful to the Lord to have been Not only 20 years after all these things have happened, but to have been alive and in connection, in contact with the Lord, with the minister of Brother Branham, knowing all the details which have happened, and therefore, beloved, a great responsibility is resting upon me. And I believe with all my heart that we're now absolutely, absolutely at the return of Christ. Everything pointing directly to it. I cannot go into the details, but our Lord said 3 times, when you see all these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption is drawing near. I close with one very special point to me. I believe that the wise virgins will never go for any wrong teaching, for any wrong explanation or interpretation, because the elect cannot be deceived. They cannot be deceived. They will stay with the Word of God. And therefore, I believe that the message of the hour, the true revelation of all the mysteries in the Word of God, were made known to us from Genesis to Revelation. At the same time, it is so important to be led by the same Holy Spirit Brother Branham was led, to know precisely what he's talking about, in what connection these things must and should be. So, beloved, I believe this ministry is to the wise virgins who are preparing for the return of Jesus Christ. I believe all that are now from all their heart believe the promised word. Don't add, don't take away, but believe the promised word of God, for this day shall have part in the preparation, in the restoration, shall have part in everything right to the moment our Lord will return to take us to glory. So I trust, beloved, that I could share a few things with you which may mean also as much to you as it do mean for me. Please remember, God is only in His Word. Amen. And the enemy is in every interpretation right from the beginning of time in the Garden of Eden. So please do not hear any interpretation. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches through the Word of God. For heaven and earth will pass away, but the words of God will remain forever. And that is what Brother Branham also said. He was speaking with Brother Lee Vail, that only perfect love will enter there. And then he was corrected. He said, only those who believe every word of God, they will be there. And this is so true. That's why our Lord said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every. And if the Lord says every, he means every. You cannot make a choice. I believe this, but I don't believe that. I take this, I don't take. No. Forget it. Make your decision to believe, to receive every word of God. Whether you understand it, whether you don't understand it, first you believe it, and then it's revealed to you. But stay in the Word. As the bridegroom was the Word manifested in the flesh, so the bride is the manifested Word of God in the flesh for this day. as every promise given for the bridegroom was manifest in him, so every promise to the last promise will be a reality in the bride of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Do you agree with the word of God? You love the Lord? Amen. Let us stand for a word of prayer. Just for a short prayer. And before we pray, let me ask if we have special requests that we can put before the Lord. Don't be ashamed. Wherever the Lord was, everyone who came to him was not sent away, but the blind received their sight, cripples were healed, lepers were made whole. Our Lord is here today. It's his promise. Wherever we're gathered in his name, there he is with us. We're still on earth. Life has many problems. Decisions have to be made. Beloved, this is your day, the day the Lord has made, that we all shall commit our lives to the Lord anew and say, Lord, I dedicate my life to you. Thy will be done in my life. If there are special requests, while every head is bowed and we remain in prayer, let me see your hands if you have a special request. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, Lord God, you see the many hands. Oh, Lord, please, please, look upon us, upon each and every one, in your grace, in your mercy, dear Lord. May they all receive what they are praying for. May this be the day, not only teaching, not only evangelism, not only prophetic, but may this be the day that each and every one will have their personal experience with the Lord. Look at their lives, at their circumstances. You know each and every one, O God, where they live. You know how they live. You know their problems. Lord, you will cast no one away. You are here to forgive. And you said, if your sins are as red as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Dear Lord, we believe in the New Testament covenant blood. Your blood was shed for the remission, for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, I ask that all will receive the forgiveness of their sins, their transgressions, and that all will return and give their lives to you. May they all be dedicated to you, and thy will be done, dear Lord, thy will be done. But especially I pray that you will open all our understanding to know the scripture in its fulfillment by divine revelation. May the same Holy Spirit that was upon the prophets, that was upon the apostles, that was upon the New Testament church, may the same Holy Spirit that was upon Brother Branham, may the same Holy Spirit be upon us today. And by the power of the blood, by the power of the word, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, receive what you prayed for in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is done. Hallelujah. It is done. Praise be to God Almighty in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I thank our brother William for having invited me in. Thank all the brothers who have come, our brother from Brussels and all those who have come from different places. Somebody came from Scotland. And yes, yes, yes. May God bless you all. Dear sisters, we shall spend eternity together with the Lord. God bless you all. Amen. Thank you.